Even when we don't see it, he's working.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord has really laid on my heart. I don't like to do this. I'm not a prophet, but it's a season of faith. It's a year of faith, and God will do amazing things through those who have faith. And so I want to challenge you, do you have faith? Do you have Bible faith to believe for the impossible this year? So I sound like charismatic, but I'm just scriptural, okay? Like when I read my Bible, and lately I've been reading biographies from missionaries, and oh my goodness, Presbyterians. Got any Presbyterians in the room? No. You're not a Presbyterian, brother.
Faith.
But listen, God, when he gets a hold of someone and he starts revealing himself, ooh, look out. When you get rid of the religion and leave all that garbage behind, like the sky's the limit, right? And so if this sermon does anything, I'm hoping it will shake the religion off you. Because one thing Jesus doesn't like when I read my Bible is religious people. He's pretty nasty to God, nasty to religious people. I encountered religious spirit many times, even as a pastor, and it's not pretty. It's like a wall goes up. And sometimes in a service, especially when we're doing healing services, when a religious spirit comes in the room, everything shuts down. Right? You may have experienced that. I know we have in this prayer room. But this is a really troubling verse for me. Like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, limited by people's lack of faith. Religious spirit is usually a lack of faith. They got everything systematized and organized. And, I used to listen to preachers who really great on the word, really, really sound, solid Bible teaching, but they didn't believe the word. They believed their doctrines over the word. They didn't believe in apostles and prophets and healings and all miracles today. And I thought, I'm shutting you off. After all these years, I just can't listen to you anymore. Because that's not truth. My Bible is truth. I found a preacher who's very solid, very Bible-believing and doctrine-oriented. But you know what? He's had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he's driven out demons. Invited to a... I just listened to one of his sermons, and at the end, he's like, I got this invitation to go to a university campus in a dorm. They just called me out of the blue, and they said, can you come to our dorm? We got this woman who's possessed. He's like, I've never done this stuff before. I don't even know if I believe it. Anyway, he goes over with a friend, and he goes in, and this woman is, like, attacking people with a knife. So something rises up in him. His faith rises up. He keeps his coat on just in case the knife, won't puncture through or won't hit his skin because he's got... And he just steps in, not knowing what to do, never done it before. And all the kids are praying, and next thing you know, they break out in song. They just led by the Holy Spirit to break out in song. He didn't do any casting out or binding or loosing.
Right.
He didn't even know that stuff.
Right.
2 hours later, she was completely free. Okay? Just by faith in the room and praising God. Praise and prayer. Praise is a weapon, people.
Amen.
And I'm just so excited. I don't know, something's happened. I know I said this last time. I'm probably going to sound like a broken record, but... when you look around and you see this many salvations, you see this many deliverances, and you see people hungry for God, and you see a world falling apart, and I hear stories of what God's doing in your lives, and you're leading people to Jesus, grandchildren coming to see you in his openness, and I'm like, something's happening. The world's a mess, I say it all the time, but God,
right.
He's got a people. And if we just get off our butts and out of our churches and do what he's asking us to do, we're going to see great things this year.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yep.
So, I want to encourage you to have faith. Do you have faith in the supernatural God to do anything? And when I read my Bible, I see faith everywhere. I see, defeating giants. I've been writing about it. I was reading it. It's in Kings, 1 Kings or 2 Kings, I think, 2 Kings 8. And there's an enemy that they have to go fight, who's harassing them, and they don't even go fight. They just need to believe that they're going to have the victory. When they believe they have the victory, then God steps in and totally defeats them on his own, making them believe they won the victory, causing confusion, turning their swords on themselves. I mean, it's like, that's my God. Okay? If I'm radical enough to march around a city 7 times and blow a trumpet, I don't even have to face the enemy. I just need to believe that 7 times. city's conquered, right?
That's right.
Do I have that faith? And I'm like, I want that faith. I don't have that faith. But this, I don't want to ever be there. Okay? I don't ever want to be there. That limiting God, if that's even possible, that he won't act because his people don't have faith. Okay? Anyway, I want to take you through this little faith journey I've been on. And I'm going to start right at the beginning. What is faith? There's only one scripture that defines faith. Okay? It's right in Hebrews 11. I've written all the translations I use regularly. It's the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen.
Right.
The evidence of things we cannot yet see. Okay, here it is, in a nutshell. You can't see it, but God's going to do it. Because
yeah.
He said he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that kind of faith to even hear the voice of God?
Yeah.
Do we have that kind of faith to say, not what the doctors say, I don't care about the medication, I don't care about all this. And listen, I've got to read this because it's on my heart right now. And I wrote it down early this morning. And God wants you to hear this. Don't let one bad experience ruin your faith.
Yeah. Good.
God always answers prayer. Okay? It's either yes, no, or not yet. So don't let the answer you didn't like affect your faith.
Good.
Do I have to read that again?
Yes.
Don't let one bad experience ruin your faith. And don't let the answer you didn't like from God affect your faith.
Good.
True.
Because I see lots of people, well, they never have faith again and for this and that and the other thing because that person died. That
right.
person didn't get healed.
Right.
And so I just want to encourage you. God is sovereign. He does what he wants to do, but he still wants to use his people. And that's all through the Bible. All through the Bible that he uses the people for his name's sake. So let's start. Faith is assurance of things hoped for. Is there something on your heart that you're hoping for? That God put there? Is there something? Okay? Do you have the conviction in your spirit that even though you don't yet see it, God's going to do it? Because he said he's going to do it. Do you have that conviction? Do you have that assurance that what you're really believing is going to happen? Because God gave you that assurance. Okay? You just have to ask yourself these things. This is faith. If you look up faith in the dictionary, you'll get a worldly answer. But if you look it up in the Bible, where you should look it up, you'll get this answer.
Right.
It's basically this. I'm going to show you something, like you did to Abraham. I'm taking you here. Here's a picture of where I'm going and where you're going. Just follow me, no matter what it looks like. 25 years, I'm going to bless you your socks off. You're going to have people galore all over the planet. But I can't even have one child. Don't worry. 25 years. I can show you the promise. I showed you where I'm taking you. This will all be populated. This land will be yours. But I don't even have one descendant. I don't want you to look at the physical. I want you to keep your eyes on what I have said I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very important, friends. That's where it starts. Faith is believing what God has showed us he's going to do. So do we really have it? It says this in Luke 18. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So if Jesus was to walk in this room right now, how much faith would he see in us? Is there anybody here who doesn't have faith? Is there anybody he would say, you don't have the faith I'm looking for. I can't use you. No. Does anybody here need a boost in their faith? I need a boost in my faith. You know what?
Yeah.
If God has called you to go on the streets and do stuff, crazy stuff, and pray for people, you need faith. You need radical faith. You can't go into prayer and expect he's not going to do anything. You have to go into prayer and expect he's going to, if he sent you to do it, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't see it right then, right? So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And this story is with a persistent woman who keeps bugging the judge. It's mine. You said you're going to do it, and I deserve it. And it's a right I have, and I'm going to claim it. Okay? And she keeps bugging the judge. And Jesus commends her for that. He uses that illustration to say, well, let's just go there real quick. Luke 18. New Testament. I'll tell you, the Gospels are amazing. I've been reading through them. They're like, wow. Can you imagine if the people of God actually lived like this?
Yeah.
So, verse 5. Yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. She's just like, Come on. Give me what I want. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's the context. Will he find that kind of faith where you just keep asking and asking and asking until you get it? See, that's faith. You don't take no for an answer. Okay, that's one form of faith. Have you got that faith? Just going to read these out. Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Let's go to Matthew 17 real quick, and look at verses 14 to 20. Let's just read it in context. I don't want to take it out of context. So verse 14, chapter 17 of Luke, when he saw that, Matthew. Thank you. Done that before. It doesn't work well on the internet. Thanks, Simon.
Matthew 17:14.
When they came to the multitude, a man came to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, and he's very ill, for he often falls in the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, they could not cure him. Another really sad verse in the Bible. Jesus answered and said, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here. That's a little bit of frustration on God, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I showed you guys how to do this. He's been showing Matthew 10 is all about that. Luke 9 and 10 is all about Jesus showing his disciples how to heal. And it's like, you guys, you have no faith. Jesus rebuked him. And the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. And the disciples say, they came to Jesus, why could we do it not? Why can't we do it? He said, because of the littleness of your faith.
Yeah.
Little. So, you know, listen, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, but he says, your faith isn't even as big as a mustard seed. Okay, that's not a lot of faith.
Right.
Because if you had that faith, you'd be able to do it. But you don't have that faith. After all I've showed you, and this is the thing I got from this. Friends, I have seen, and some of you have seen incredible stuff. God, yep. Do incredible stuff. Okay, I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And I'm not talking healings only. I'm talking divine provision, divine protection, divine revelation, divine guidance. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. And some of your Bibles say, well, this only comes out with prayer and fasting. That's fine. But they didn't put the work in if you want to go that way. But ultimately, they could have done it. But they didn't. Because if they had enough faith, they would have got on their knees and they would have fasted and they would have done it. They didn't have the faith to go that next step. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. So I just think, I don't want to ever be that. I don't ever want to be that. After all I've seen Jesus do in people's lives, I don't ever want to be the one to whom he says, you don't have enough faith.
Right. Good.
I want to be the one who, just because I'm an elder, I want to lay hands on the sick, believe they're going to get well, and they get well, because that's command. Let the elders of the church come. So, lots of things I could go to. Jesus answered the next point and said to them, truly I say, if you have faith and do not doubt. This is a big one. Even James talks about doubting, right? If you doubt, you won't receive anything from the Lord. So, what is the biggest enemy of faith? It's doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite. You don't believe. There's a little nugget in there that, yeah, maybe it just won't happen. Right? And so I won't do it. Or I pray and I believe, but maybe. There's always a maybe. Well, it's not God's will. That's a big maybe. That's called doubt. Jesus is a healer. That's why we pray. Jesus provides. That's why we ask. That's who he is. Okay? And do you have that faith? Listen, I want to challenge you right now.
Yeah.
Do you have that faith?
Good.
Do you believe for that kind of stuff? Do you believe? Listen, I'm reading a book by Rosalind Goforth. Oh my goodness. What a woman of faith.
Yeah.
My wife read it. And how I know God answers prayer. And they praise the Lord. She's a Presbyterian. They're Presbyterian. Yeah. radical, incredible faith, going to China, okay, to preach the gospel, northern China. And
how many years ago was that?
This is at the turn of the century, not the 21st, turn of the 20th century. We're talking late 1800s, early 1900s.
Right.
No cars, no medicines, no planes,
right,
nothing. With kids. She had seven kids. She lost four in the mission field. Okay? But incredible faith.
Right.
Like incredible. And her husband, I'm reading, and she's saying, my husband would believe that. I gotta believe that. And it's just like, I thought of this. This Jonathan Goforth, he must have been quite an evangelist,
right,
missionary, because she says about his faith all the time. And I thought, when I die, I want people to remember my faith.
Right. Okay?
Yeah, I know a lot, blah, 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 blah. But I want to be known as a man of faith. He really trusted God. And he believed and he saw. Anyway, she had all these kids and no means to feed them. She didn't hardly got income, and she didn't have clothes for them. And I mean, some of them were sick with diphtheria and black plague and all this stuff. And people would come and pray over them and they get healed. And they had no medicine. They had no clothes. People would come and sew clothes for her. They'd give her material so she could sew clothes. And then she said, I'm too tired doing all these evangelistic crusades. I can't do it anymore. And then God would send somebody to mend the clothes for her and live with them for a month so they could make clothes for all these kids. I'm like, it's just incredible. And I'm reading this story and I'm going, wow. I'm laying there at 3:30 in the morning this morning. Okay. And on my reclining chair. And I'm just meditating on all that God has done at Freedom House.
Good.
Okay, friends, this book, like, I don't want to boast, but I've lived some of this stuff.
Good.
Okay? Like, we bought that big house out there. That was a miracle in itself.
That's right.
It was a huge property shovel. I was doing it by hand. Somebody gave us a plow. A truck with a plow in the front.
Yep.
Okay? Somebody gave us. It's a big property to cut. Somebody gave us a riding lawnmower.
Right.
Okay. I don't know why we needed a tractor, but somebody gave us a tractor. Because when the truck broke down, I took the plow off the truck and put it on the tractor. It's like everything we needed. Everything. Like every material thing we needed. You know, when we first started these chairs you're sitting on, God sent somebody to buy all these chairs. You know, I think you're going to need a lot of chairs. And he bought us 60 chairs. 60 chairs. But now we don't need as many. We've given some away. But I'm like, God supplied every single thing we need. You know, I remember getting injured while I'm working, and I run to Wendy's office. I mean, even the office was, God provided people to fix all that up, provided people to reshingle the garage so she could work in there. It's like just, it's one thing after another. It was one thing after, it still is.
Can I just tell one story about that? Okay. So you came to the office door when I was counseling, knocking on the door, and I'm thinking there's got to be an emergency.
Yeah.
And the person that I was seeing was kind of like, I've never seen any miracle, I don't really believe in blah, blah, blah.
But she was a Christian.
Yeah, but a Christian. And so anyways, Mike's like, I dropped something on my foot, and I'm pretty sure that I broke it. Mm. And so we prayed like right away, right there, believing that he's going to be healed. Right? Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, off the hobbles, I said, go and put your foot up and put ice on it. And then after the point was over, the woman's like, is that the same, he's like walking around the property like normal, like nothing happened. And she's like, is that the guy who came in? And you were like, he was crying.
It was a lot of pain.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, Jesus heals. She's like, whoa. Like, that was amazing. Right there, he got healed.
We see so many healings, so many healings. The greatest memories I have is taking these young new converts out on the street and praying for people. And the university, I remember Jordan, when we prayed for the university student, he's on crutches, he had injured in a rugby game, and he's limping, and he's got a cast on, one of those plastic casts. And we just prayed for him. And, oh man. It's like he just felt the power of God hit his leg. And he got up and he started running around. Next thing you know, the plastic cast is off. And he's like, whoa, this is so awesome. Yeah. The woman at the mall. I mean, we've got so many stories. Mm-hmm. Friends, if you don't step out, you'll never see God do things.
That's right.
Anyway, I digress because I'm reading this and it's just This is a great little book if you want to build yourself up in your faith, because it's just story after story about her experiencing trials and answers to prayer. And some of them, you know, they get, the child gets healed for the moment, but later they die. Okay? And if you've ever heard of the Boxer Revolution, there was a revolt, a rebellion in northern China. There's lots of injustice and stuff. So the residents of northern China blamed the Christians. And they started attacking the Christians,
right,
with machetes and whatever they have. So they're riding into a village on horseback in the cart with kids and all their belongings. And suddenly they pull into this village and the mobs just come with machetes and start hacking away. Okay, they're reaching for everything, and God supernaturally got them through that. They get to the next village, and the same thing over again.
Right.
And they're going this destination just nonstop. One of their kids got pulled off the cart and dragged away. Later they found out one of their assistants found them and rescued them and took them. And it's like just story after story like that, where God has divinely provided for them. And even though there were injuries and stuff, God healed them quickly. It's just like, anyway, that's one missionary. That's one book. Okay. If you read Hebrews 11, it's a cloud of witnesses of all these people who walked with God and encountered incredible things. Okay, by faith, by faith. So, do we have faith? Do we have, even small as a mustard seed? Jesus says, don't doubt. You can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. Verse 22, it says, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believing. There's an emphasis on belief. So let me go through some quick examples here. Matthew 8 is a very important chapter. Okay, very important, because in verses 16, 17, it literally says, because of the cross, this is yours. Okay, if you said, when evening had come, verse 16, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were healed, Matthew 8, 16, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried our diseases. That's a reference to the cross. Okay, that's, Peter saw that. That's why Peter says, by his stripes we have been healed on many levels. Okay, so Matthew 8, you have a man with leprosy, and he comes and he kneels before Jesus, says, if you're willing, you can make me clean.
Right.
And Jesus says, I'm willing. But the man went to Jesus. He knew he could do it. He says, I believe you can do it, and if it's your will, do it. I don't know why he says that, but he's brand new in the faith. If he had any faith, he had enough faith to believe that Jesus could heal him. That's why he got healed. Matthew 8:13. To the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believe it. And his servant was healed at that very hour. And you know what this servant is commended for? Or this centurion is commended for? Recognizing Jesus' authority just to speak the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Now, do we have that kind of faith? This is a pagan Roman guy. Matthew 9. If I only touch his cloak, I'll be healed. If only I can get to him. See, that's faith. It drives you to reach out for Jesus. Do we have that faith? Woman is healed from that moment. That's the one with the issue of blood. Matthew 9, when he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and he asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done for you. And their sight was restored. Next one, Matthew 14, when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the end of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. I got to get to Jesus. I got to touch him. Right? It's just incredible the amount of faith they had back then. These are not the religious people. If you read the Gospels, the religious are put against this. What do they do when this happens, when these healings happen? Well, that was on the Sabbath. How dare you, Jesus? That's crazy. Jesus really lets them have it. Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman, right? She doesn't deserve it because she's a Canaanite, but she presses in. And she argues with Jesus, but even the dogs get crumbs. Oh, woman, you got so much faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And he says in Matthew 21, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Honestly, I don't even know if I believe that. But I'm preaching it to myself that I need to believe what the word says, okay? Over what I see. I tell you the truth. John 14. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Healing and all that stuff, anything you receive from God as an answer to prayer is always for His glory. Okay? Always for His glory. And then I wrote at Mark 9, if you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. If you can, God, if you can you please help me? What do you mean if you can? See, that's hardly any faith. But he does it anyway. We have 2,000 years since that happened. We got testimonies and testimonies and books and books and books and books coming out everywhere. And they testify that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. What he did back then, he'll do today. Do we believe that? There's only one place the world's going to see whether that's true or not. That's if the church is walking in it and believing it. And this year, I want to really encourage you to walk in faith and believe for the incredible. Because God is on the move. Amen? Bible examples. As I read through, I've shared already. You read through the Bible, and if you really believe the Bible, that's the first place. So maybe we should ask that question. Do you believe the Word of God?
Right.
That's where everything starts.
Yeah.
Because that's where the revelation comes from. Right? Do you believe when Jesus said, don't worry about anything, your Heavenly Father loves you more than the birds and the flowers, and if He looks after them, how much more will He look after you? Okay. That's what He says. So do you really believe that God wants to give you? How do I phrase this? What you are not even seeking, but what you need. I believe that it's going to be controversial, but I've given my life to Freedom House and healing people and seeing God move in people's lives. I believe God wants to heal people. I believe He wants to manifest His glory, and He wants to glorify Christ and the work of the cross in people's lives. That's why healing is there. I don't believe it's for any other reason. It's never for the individual doing the healing. It's never for the ministry or anything. It's always to glorify His name.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so when you pray in faith, believing for something, God says He's going to do it because He wants to do it. He's able to do it, and He gets glory when He does it. Okay? So, I want you to think right now of all the times you've asked God for help in whether you should do something, for guidance, and He's given you that revelation. Right? Have you ever come up against an enemy, a big foe, or a big problem, and you just didn't know how to do it, and God provided the answer?
Yes.
Okay? Have you ever needed something, and God has supplied it supernaturally? I could tell you about a truck, I could tell you about tools, I could tell you about wisdom, don't know how to do something, God sends somebody to do it. I mean, just like I read in the book, that's my life. I mean, I thought I could write this book, and I'm sure some of you could write this book. And I think we should write this book for our kids and our family members, just to testify. Yeah, this God I believe in, He's real. Protection. Man, I can't tell you how many times, you know, you're driving down the road and but by the grace of God, I got to where I got.
Right.
Because maybe I'm not the best driver, but there's a lot of wackos out there. And they're in front of me, or they're crossing my paths, or they're on their phones, or they're drunk, and Lord knows how many times He's protected me from those kinds of people.
Yes.
Right? And we take it for granted. We don't even think about it. But God is God. And we're His kids, and we need to believe that. You know, when we get on a plane and go to Mexico, God's protecting, He's watching over you.
Right?
Right? I mean, sometimes we just get so used to it, but we got to testify about it. Anyway, just Acts 3:16, watch this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him. It's faith in His name and faith that comes through Him. It's all faith. This guy right here that was born crippled, Out of his mother's womb, he could not walk. Now at the age of 40 or whatever, he's walking. Nobody, doctors can't do that.
No.
Only God can do that. And it's faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Have you got faith in Jesus? How much faith have you got in Jesus? So, you know, ask yourself, what would Jesus say about my faith, about our faith? Later, Jesus appeared, Mark 16:14-11. As they were eating, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after. This is so phenomenal. Just quickly, he rose from the dead. All kinds of people have seen him. They're still hiding out. People are coming to them, these disciples, and saying, he's alive. They're not acting like he's alive. They're acting like he's still dead, and they're still a target for the enemy. And then finally, Jesus shows up and says, guys, your faith is really weak. Like, I'm right here, okay? You need to see it to believe it. Here I am. In the next verses, what does he do? He sends them out, okay? If you believe in my name, you will do this. Cast out demons, heal the sick, you know, raise the dead, all this stuff. Lay your hands on people and heal lepers. And you'll do this incredible stuff if you believe in my name. Friends, that's to the church. He says that. The Gospel of Mark closes with that commission. Go and preach the gospel. And as you've seen me do, go and do. Because I want a people of faith. He says in Luke 12:28, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which I already shared. And he throws in this, oh, you of little faith. What is faith? It's believing what we do not see. Sure of what God has promised is going to pass. And I want to encourage you, do you have that faith?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the Bible says. The righteous shall live by faith. That's us. Okay? We live by faith. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Okay? Listen, the toughest thing for a human being to do when they come to Christ is stop being human.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And become supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Some of you, that doesn't sit well. But I'm dead. I'm a new creation.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm risen in Christ. Christ lives in me. Do you believe that? Do you believe the God of the universe, who created the universe, lives inside of you?
Right.
Do you believe that? Do you believe with one word he can bring healing to you, to an individual? He can. If you just release a prayer, he will answer that prayer in someone's life. I've seen this hundreds of times. I've seen it in this room. Friends, you should all be on the prayer team. Because it's really cool to watch someone experience Jesus for the first time, or to have them have Jesus show up in the room and touch them and deliver them,
right,
and bring healing and heal their broken heart and mend their wounds. It's like, the same God that we read about is alive and well today and wanting to do the same things he did back then. He wants to do them through us. And I want to challenge you. Are we living by faith? 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. And then I threw these in because, well, they talk about love. The only thing that counts, like the only thing, that's a phenomenal statement. The only thing, Paul could have said 4 million other things, but he said the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. If you see someone in a crisis and you have Jesus, who is love, God is love, and he's inside you, and the love of God, the Bible says, compels us to go and minister to people, and we don't do it, when we have the faith to do it, it proves we don't have love. Because the most loving thing you can do for someone is reveal Jesus to them. Bring them to Jesus. Show Jesus. Pray for them. Speak Jesus. Ultimately, like I shared with the pastor, all you have to do is believe Jesus is with you and that he wants to do something through you for that individual.
Right.
You know, Alberto was sharing a story about this young guy we had at Freedom House, and he was all over the map. We didn't know where he was at. But recently, Alberto encountered him, and he's back with the Lord,
yeah.
And Alberta's discipling him. And I think way back, like 16 years ago, God planted seeds,
yes.
And now they're germinating.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? And I believe there's so many like that out there.
Right.
There's people in your life,
yeah.
That you have sowed into and deposited something, and now God is bringing it. It's finally, the harvest is coming. And so I want to encourage you, like, rise up. Men, especially, men of faith, rise up. Remember that song? The world is turning to the world,
yeah.
And they're not getting anywhere.
Right.
I always say this, we have the answer the world needs.
Mm-hmm.
But if we live too much like the world, they're not going to see that we have the answer. Right? We're not of the world. We have a supernatural God we serve who does supernatural things. And are you living like that? And if not, you can get like that.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to read your Bible and believe what you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm preparing all this and meditating, I'm thinking, okay, we got some cases in our families. We think they're lost causes. We've like written them off because there's just no movement there at all. Friends, listen to me. Does my God move mountains?
Yes.
Is there a mountain too big he can't move?
No.
Did he say, if you have faith, you can move the mountain?
Right.
Is that what he said? That's what he said. Okay, so somehow, some way, God wants to cooperate with me to bring something that people need, to bring salvation to my family. He wants to cooperate with me. That's why I just say, go. Preach, heal, deliver, do everything I command you to do, because that's how people see that I'm alive. Okay? When you move mountains, God will stand beside you and reveal that you can move that mountain. He'll move it for you, and he'll make you, it seems to be according to Scripture, that they'll believe it's you. And you say, that's not me, that's God. God did that, because I believe. So do you believe? There's not a lot of, yes. Listen.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this because I know it's true. Okay, that's why there's no response. Because some of you got some things that have been stuck for so long, you've lost faith that they never come to Christ. So they'll never happen. Okay? Some of you believe that. That's a lie. There's a mountain that God can move.
Yep.
Otherwise, when we sing this song, don't sing it. Because it's a lie coming out of your mouth that you don't believe. Okay, we don't want to be religious. We just don't want to sing songs. We want to believe what we're saying. Okay? And so when you say God's going to move, I want you to get that person in your mind. Okay? My niece, God's going to move that mountain and pull her off that place she's in. Bring her to himself. Okay? That can happen because that's my God. And I need to believe that. And I need to take every opportunity to declare that. And I'm going for lunch at my in-laws this today, and I'm full. They're going to get a dose of the Holy Ghost because I'm full.
Yeah.
At Christmas, I'm like, you guys need Jesus. You're just a bunch of grumpy, miserable people. You need Jesus. I'm like, man, we got to have Jesus. We got to be excited about Jesus.
Yes.
We got him.
Yes.
We got what the world needs.
Yep.
Are you with me? You're
going
to live like that? You're going to live like that? Okay, so you all saw that, and you all have friends here, you all have like, spouses. If they don't live like that, you tell them, you said on Sunday, you are going to live in faith and believe God for the impossible. Yeah, I think this all started with the Christmas story, because I'm reading the story, and Mary, this little young girl who's now pregnant, like, what's out of her mouth? Well, not the angel said, but with God, all things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible with God.
Yep.
The Christmas story is an incredible story. That's how the gospel starts.
Yeah.
Like angels and revelation and incredible things happening and deliverance from wacko kings. And it's like, wow, this is the God of the Bible. This is how he bursts into the New Testament. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. Come and participate. End the sermon. Thank you, Jesus. Seriously, my longing has been for the church to be the church.
Yeah.
I've preached that sermon so many times. What if the church was really the church? This is free because I wasn't going here, but I want us to be radical like the first century church, walking down the streets, just doing incredible things, getting arrested for Jesus because I healed someone. Man, that would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to put me in jail because I healed a guy?
Yeah.
Bring it on. Who's next? I don't know, man.
Then
that's just exciting.
Ministry while you're
yeah, there. Exactly.
We want Jesus to marvel at our faith
yeah.
this year.
Yes, not at our unbelief.
That's right.